here, and we just want to welcome you and tell you that we're excited that you're a part of South this morning. One of the ways you can stay connected at South is just by using your smartphone and downloading our South Lansing Christian Church app. And I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done that yet. What a great way to stay connected with everything that God's doing here at South. You can learn about the events that are coming up. Maybe you can submit a prayer request, something you want us to be praying about. You can do that through our app. You can follow along with our teaching today. The upper left-hand corner, there's a button that says YouVersion, Y-O-U version, and you can follow along there. You can listen to sermons that we've had in the past, teachings that we've had in the past, just a ton of things you can do with our app, and so I want to encourage you to do that today. Of course, you also can learn about us at seekstudyserve.org, seekstudyserve.org, just some great ways for us to stay connected. You know, one of the things I really love about South is the way we're just trying to be connected with college students and graduate students. I remember back when I was in college, it was just such a busy, busy time. And one of the things that really helped keep me grounded was being connected. And believe it or not, my wife and I, we were part of South Lansing Church of Christ when this congregation was located over near Pennsylvania and Kavanaugh. My wife and I attended there the first couple of years that we were married before we moved back to Indiana. And, you know, our lives were crazy back then. I was working at Sparrow Hospital at the time. I was a hospital orderly up on the 8th floor, 8 South back then, before they had the big tower and the big parking garage. And, you know, one of the things that always kind of impressed me there, really fascinated me, believe it or not, that's a silly thing. I was always fascinated by the pneumatic tube system at Sparrow Hospital, right? I mean, you know, you'd think that I might be impressed by doctors and nurses saving lives, okay? But no, I'm impressed with, like, you know, this extended bank teller tube system. And it's just like when you go to the bank, you know, they got the tube, and it comes out, and you put your money in, and you send it back, and then they send a receipt. It's the same thing, only it's huge. It's like this elaborate that goes the breadth and the width and the height of the hospital, and there's hundreds of tubes everywhere. And, you know, so let's say you need something from the pharmacy. You put a prescription in there, and whoosh, the thing goes off to the pharmacy, and a little bit later, whoosh, the thing comes back with, like, the medicine in it. Or maybe you need to send paperwork down to admitting. You put the paperwork in there, and whoosh, off it goes, and then, well, I don't know if anything comes back from admitting, but whoosh, off comes the empty tube, you know. And, hey, I'm easily entertained. And so it was just fascinating stuff. And I sometimes wish that God would communicate that way. I wish that God would, like, put these like pneumatic tube stations in my house or in my office. Or, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's just me, right? But God, should I change my major? You know, put the little request in there. Change major, put it in the tube, send it off, and a little bit later, here it comes. Yes, are you crazy? You'll never make any money doing that, right? Okay, now I wish, or it's, God, do I take the job? Off it goes, and it comes back. Yes, take the job, move away. I mean, I sometimes wish that God would communicate that way. And really, that's one of the things we're focusing on this summer in Summer Strong as we preach through this book called Soul Revolution. We're focusing on how God wants to communicate with us and how you and I can stay connected to a God who cares about us. You know, summer is a time here in Michigan where we kind of go and we do and we go to the lake or we go on vacation. Again, you know, going to weddings and open houses and things like that. Like last week, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door. Oh, must be Memorial Day, right? So we're all kind of going and we're kind of doing things and we're away. But summer is a time of growth. Right? That's when the crops are growing. I see the corn now is in some places almost a foot high. That's when your gardens are growing. You got to get out there on hot days like yesterday and you have to water them because you can almost watch your plants grow. I mean, this summer is a time of growth. And even though you're going and you're doing, and sometimes you're here and sometimes you're not, Summer Strong is our effort to challenge you to continue to grow in your faith the entire summer. And that's why we've challenged you to read this book, Soul Revolution by John Burke. How many of you picked up a copy of that book? Raise your hand real high if you picked up a copy of that book. Yeah, I'm seeing good things. People are reading the book and they're liking it. We've got some still out in the lobby. If you haven't picked one up, you can today. The whole point of the book, Soul Revolution, is to help you and me develop the habit of staying intimately connected with God 24/7, 365 days a year. You see, it's not enough to just go week to week and think about God. And a lot of people are that way. They think about God on Sunday. Or maybe they think about God when, you know, they're in a tough spot, right? But for you and I to really have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have, we need to develop a moment-by-moment intimacy where we are connected with God all throughout the day. And that's why we encourage you to go buy a watch or, you know, that beeps every hour to help you stay connected to God, to remind you, beep, okay, it's time for me to you know, just be present to God. Okay, God, here I am. What is it you want from me in this moment? God, what are you trying to teach me through these circumstances? Or we've encouraged you to download the app, the 6060 app. And I talked to some people who are doing that even yet today, right? You can go to the Google Play Store and search, what did we say it was? Soul Revolution. At the Google Play Store, you can search Soul Revolution, or the Apple iTunes Store, you can search Soul Rev, S-O-U-L-R-E-V, and you can download that app. And every hour, what's going to happen is that app is going to remind you to stay connected with God. I wanted to invite Rod Beischer, one of my friends. Rod and I are in small group together. Rod's going to come up because I wanted Rod to talk about the impact that this app is already having on him. Man, you can have the seat, and I'll just go right over here. So, yeah, talk to us about the Soul Revolution app and what it's doing for you.
What this has done for me is, you know, we go through our day, and the only reason that people fail, I heard it said, the only reason that people fail at anything is broken focus. And for me, I'm like, what's that disease, ADD, overweight, shiny object, you know, like, you know, just scattered, right? So the great thing about this app, and if you haven't downloaded it, it's really simple. And look, I'm a 61-year-old baby boomer. If I can do it, I know you can. And this, you can set up when you want this thing to beep at you. I've got mine. You can set it up for a beep or a vibrate, whatever you want. And you can do it on the minute of the hour that you want it. And it gives you that choice. So I'd set mine for, like, every half hour, like the 30-minute thing. And so I was really busy the other day. I was trying to get some things done that I had to get done. I have a really, really busy summer coming up. It's my, I'm not going a lot of places other than to work, Frank. Okay. I have a very busy summer. I have 75 programs to do this summer, which is a great blessing. But in all of that, sometimes I can lose focus of where I'm at. And I was trying to, you know, figure out my schedule and monetary things I had to figure out. I was pretty anxious. All of a sudden, this thing pops up. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, that the peace of God will, that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, right then. Well, who figured all that out? You know, it's like God knew exactly what I needed, and this was really helping me stay focused every hour on what he wanted me to do for my life. And I was just amazed. And there it goes again. It's this one safe, right?
It says, your time is almost up.
That's right. So, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid to, and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And so here we are this morning worshiping God, and we're going to go out of here. We may be having some thoughts about how do we present the gospel to people. There it is, be strong and courageous, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks.
Thank you, and, Rod.
Pick up this book, too. I think this app and this book are two of the greatest tools you can use. And here's an extra one for somebody who will download that app today about it.
Sweet. So I'm going to leave that up here. Yep. If you download the app today, you're saying Rod's going to give you a copy of the book.
That's awesome, exactly,
man.
Right.
Good. Thanks, Rod. We love Rod. Thanks, man. I love doing life with you guys, Rod and Julie. They're in our small group, and we just have a blast. And, you know, something else I want to encourage you to do. There's a chair card for you today. You see this chair card that says Soul Revolution. Pick it up, wave it really high. That way I know you got one, right? Soul Revolution, this chair card. I want to encourage you to maybe identify someone that you can sort of go through summer with, and we're calling them running partners. Those of you who run know a lot of times it's easier when you run with someone or you're accountable to someone, you work out with someone. We want to encourage you to maybe identify one other person that you can go through summer strong with, that maybe you connect with every week. Either meet with them in person, face-to-face, or maybe on FaceTime, right? Or maybe you just call them up on the phone. And we've got some questions that you can ask that will help you be accountable to somebody else this summer as you're growing in your intimacy and in your relationship with God. But here's the thing that I find, right? Even when I set my app to beep at me regularly, and even when I'm really trying to be intentionally present to God, when I'm really trying to focus on His presence, a lot of times I still struggle to hear His voice. I still struggle to sense what God is leading me to do. That can just be a challenge for me. I don't know if it is for you. But how do we do that? How does that work? How do we sense God's leading in our lives? How do we sense God telling us to stay put or to go forward or to turn right or to turn left? If you're like me, it would kind of be nice if God would communicate with maybe something more definitive, maybe like email, right? This is in my inbox. Frank, here's what I want you to do. Or maybe the vacuum canisters that we talked about. Or maybe like skywriting would be cool, wouldn't it? You know, a God airplane with skywriting that says, do this, Frank, right? But here's the deal. The problem generally isn't with the transmitter, but it's with the receiver. When Tracy and I were first married, we had a really kind of a fun car, cool car. It was a 1977 Ford Maverick. Remember the Maverick, any of you? Now, we didn't have the totally cool two-door version. We had the four-door version. It was the sedan. And ours was silver. I think the one on the screen that I have for you this morning is green, but it's the same model year. Ours was silver with a red interior. And it was those vinyl seats so that on a really, really hot day, if you wore shorts and you got out, you like had this impression of vinyl on your legs. You know what I'm talking about? And you just kind of go and get out of the car. We had this Maverick. And I love the car. It was a straight six engine, which is the easiest motor in the world to work on. I did a lot of the maintenance on it. And it was great every time it started, when it started. But the one thing I hated about this car, here's what I hated about the car, right? And some of you are not going to be able to relate. I know I'm dating myself. It only had an AM radio. AM radio. Now, for some of you, there used to be two kinds of radio. There was AM and there was FM. And now all you have is FM and, you know, MP3 and hook it up and Bluetooth and all that. Well, it used to be you'd have to push the button and you'd have AM radio. So we had an AM radio station. And one of the problems with AM radio is whenever you're driving down the road and you're driving parallel to those high tension power lines, you're not hearing the radio. What are you hearing? Yeah, see, some of you had the Ford Maverick. It was a popular car, right? And the problem wasn't with the transmitter. The problem was with the receiver. Either we were traveling too fast, right? And so the signal couldn't, or we had interference from those power lines. The problem wasn't that the radio station wasn't transmitting. The problem was our ability to receive. And I think that's the case a lot of times with us when we're trying to stay connected with God and understand what He wants for our lives. It isn't like God's not transmitting. It's just that we're not receiving. Maybe you're going too fast. Maybe there's interference. But it's not as though God doesn't want you to know His will for your life. He's transmitting. We're just struggling to receive. And here's the principle that I want to leave you with today that I think will help as you try to understand how to really experience God's will for your life, how you try to understand when He's communicating to you. Here's the principle. The way to find ears to hear is to develop an obedient heart. You want to be able to hear God? You want to be able to know what God wants for your life? The way to find ears to hear God is to develop an obedient heart. Because once you settle the obedience issue, once you've committed to saying, okay, God, I'm going to obey you, I'm going to do whatever it is you tell me. Once you've settled that issue, God begins to reveal more and more of His will for your life. Why would God communicate what He wants for you if your heart is not already inclined to obey? But as you begin to incline your heart to obedience and you say, I'm going to obey God, whatever it is God has me do, I'm going to obey Him. Once you've settled that obedience issue, now God begins to reveal more and more of His will for your life. How does He do that? How does God speak to you and to me? I'm just going to give you three ways today. Some of you may have experienced others, but I think these are the three primary ways that God communicates His will to us. The first is through Scripture, through God's Word. Whether you have ink on paper, or whether you have digital pixels stored in a device, God communicates to you and to me through His Word. He first did this through our spiritual ancestors. We go back in the older part of the Bible, the Old Testament, and read about, you know, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God revealed Himself through them. Then He revealed Himself through the prophets. We can read the prophets in the Old Testament. Then He revealed Himself through Jesus, and we can read all about Jesus' life from His four biographers, the four Gospels. Then He revealed Himself through the apostles, and we can read what God has for us in His Word through the letters that the apostles wrote to Christians in the first century. And we have all of that sort of bound together in the book. One book, the Bible. We have the Bible. God reveals Himself to us through the Scriptures. Paul, we talk about Paul a lot. First century missionary, early Christ follower who traveled all around planting churches all around the Mediterranean basin. Paul had a young man named Timothy that he was training. Paul was his mentor. And he wrote these words about Scripture to Timothy. He said, hey, Tim, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. Okay, we're going to come back to that little phrase in just a minute. You know those from whom you've learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We learn later on in Paul's letter to Timothy that he'd learned about God from his mother and from his grandmother. So he learned about God from other people. Now here, look at verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God communicates to you and to me through His Word, through the Scriptures. We might say, well, Frank, listen, some of the Bible is really hard to understand. I mean, there's Scriptures, Frank, that I don't get. I scratch my head. I don't understand them. And you know what? There's a lot of the Bible that I don't get and I don't understand either. I love something my dad says. Some of you know my dad. He often sits up here right in the corner. He's not with us today. He's not feeling real well. But Pop is an old country preacher. He preached in these little churches in North Carolina and in Ohio and in Michigan, down in Georgia, Dad preaching these little churches. And he's just a great source of like this kind of common sense, kind of homespun spiritual wisdom. And here's what he says. Frank, I don't get so worried about the parts of the Bible that I don't understand. Where I struggle is with the parts of the Bible that I do understand. God communicates His Word to us through His Scriptures. And the way to be able to hear God is to commit to an obedient heart, to saying, you know what, I'm going to approach God's word from a position of obedience so that when I dig into God's word and he reveals something to me from his word, I'm going to obey that. So God reveals his word to us through scripture, also through people. Now, I just alluded to that, right? Paul says, hey, you know what you've heard and from whom you've heard it. This is what he's saying to Timothy. You know what you've heard. You know from whom you've heard it, how from infancy you've been taught the scriptures, learned it from your mother, learned it from your grandmother. Oftentimes, God reveals his will to us. God speaks to us through other people. I'm convinced that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, why God puts us in a church. Because God wants to use other people to help us become spiritually formed to look like his son, Jesus. And God has always done that. God has always used other people to communicate his word and his will to his children. This isn't something new. The book of Hebrews is a sort of a mysterious book in some way. We have the New Testament book of Hebrews. It's written to Jewish believers in Jesus. We're not exactly sure who wrote it or when it was written or the precise audience, but we know it was written to people who came out of Judaism and now believe in Jesus. And the Hebrew writer starts off the whole book by saying this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. You see, when God wanted to communicate to the nation of Israel, he sent them Moses. And he used Moses to communicate his word and his will to the nation of Israel. When God wanted to communicate to Paul, you remember before Paul became this incredible missionary, he was anti-Jesus and actually persecuted Jesus' followers. But when God wanted to communicate to Paul, he sent a man named Ananias. You can read about this in Acts chapter 9. He sent this man named Ananias. He said, Ananias, go to Straight Street and I want you to talk to this guy named Paul. And God used Ananias to communicate his words to Paul. When God wanted to communicate to a Roman centurion guy by the name of Cornelius, we read about him in Acts chapter 10. When God wanted to communicate to Cornelius, first he communicated to Peter in a dream, and then he sent Peter to communicate his words to Cornelius. Sometimes God puts people in your life so that he can use them to speak words of truth to you. And sometimes we struggle to hear them, right? If you're married, I'm convinced that one of the reasons God connects you with a spouse isn't just for, all the candy hearts and flower reasons, right? I'm convinced one of the reasons God connects you with a spouse is because he wants to use your husband, use your wife to communicate his words of truth through that person to you. And so if you're married, maybe one of the ways you understand what God wants for your life is by, listening to your spouse. Or maybe it's a parent. I know when you're a kid, you don't want to hear that, right? You don't want to hear, listen to your mom and dad, right? But maybe it's a parent and God wants to speak words of truth through that parent to you. Or maybe it's another trusted adult or a mentor. And here's sort of a way that I try to experience this in my life. If someone's telling me something of a spiritual nature, and my first reaction is to bristle at that and to sort of dig in my heels a little bit and say, I don't think so. That might be an indication. that God wants to use that person to tell me something, to speak to me through him or through her. And the way to find ears to hear what God wants for us is to develop an obedient heart. So that when we hear that thing that we sort of want to push against, we want to resist, when we that our first reaction, okay, maybe it's to resist, maybe it's to push against, but very quickly we say, whoa, hold on, Lord, if this is from you, you have my obedience. So God uses Scripture to communicate to us. God uses other people to communicate to us. And then thirdly, and this is sort of the umbrella of it all, God communicates to his people through his Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christ follower, God's Holy Spirit resides within you. And I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit, at least in my experience, the Holy Spirit speaks to me in a whisper. And it's not as though I hear God's voice. I don't know if, you know, God sounds like Morgan Freeman or not, right? You know, God, does God have reverb? I don't know, okay? But I do know there are times where I just sense the Holy Spirit nudging or prodding or pushing or leading me. And if you're following Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. There's this great story in the Old Testament. One of the greatest Jewish prophets was a man named Elijah. We're going to talk more about Elijah later this year, in November, actually. Because there was this time in Elijah's life when he was incredibly depressed. Just went through this huge depression in his life, so much so to the point that Elijah despaired of life. He said, God, I don't even want to live. He was that depressed. I know sometimes we think that, you know, church people or Jesus people don't get depressed. Well, Elijah got depressed and didn't even want to live. And so God takes Elijah and he takes him to this mountaintop. He has this experience with God. And we read about this experience in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's really pretty amazing because God wants to teach Elijah that even when you're depressed, even when you're discouraged, I want you to know, Elijah, that I'm still with you. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, Elijah, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered red the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You see, why? Because God wasn't in there. God wasn't in the storm. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God was in the whisper. And sometimes God communicates to you and to me, and it's a feeling. It's an impression that you get in the circumstances that you're experiencing that, you know, it goes beyond your own wisdom, and maybe at the time it might not even make sense, but God comes to you in a whisper. And one of the reasons we miss the whisper is because we haven't been obedient to the previous whispering. Sometimes God's whisper comes to us in prayer, right? When we're praying, and so often what my prayers look like is my shopping list for God. It's me talking and, you know, expecting God to listen. Sometimes I just need to, Frank, you just need to shut up long enough to stop talking and listen and find out what begins to bubble up inside of my spirit and what is God leaning into me, encouraging me to do. And you know what? If you come to God with an obedient heart, and you've cultivated obedience in your life so that when God speaks, you immediately respond. If you'll do that, you're going to experience more and more of God's leading in your life. We want skywriting, we want emails, we want magical walkie-talkies, right?
Oh, God, this is Frank. Over.
Yeah? That's what we want. But the means of communication isn't the issue. The issue is your willingness to obey. You see, we've already got the scriptures. God's already put people in our lives to speak truth to us. God's already given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us to help us understand what he wants us to do. You know what I'm talking about. There have been times where you have sensed God directing you to do one thing or another, but because of fear or because of reluctance or because of concern or anxiety, you've chosen not to do that. Well, listen, the way to develop ears to hear God is to have an obedient heart. So I want to leave you with this. If you want to be able to sense where God is leading, what you and I have got to do, we have got to cut down on our response time. We got to cut down on our response time. I grew up in a little town of Garrett, Indiana, 5,000 people, and we had a volunteer fire department. We have any volunteer firefighters here? I don't know if we do or not, but volunteer firefighters are amazing because they volunteer, right? Hey, not only do I not get paid to go into that burning building, but I'm going into that burning building, yeah? Which is amazing to me. And they always pride, the little fire department in Garrett, Indiana would always pride themselves on their response time. We were one of those towns where they had a big fire whistle in the middle of town. And when the fire whistle went off, you know, you could hear it for like 3 or 4 miles. And this is the one time when the guys would throw their little blue light on the hood of their F-150 and come screaming through town because they knew they weren't going to get stopped and they could go as fast as they want. These guys would all, you know, they'd just come to a screeching halt and they'd run into the fire station, they'd slip into their gear, and then out the truck would come. And they were always really, they were just proud of their response time, like a minute, you know, or 90 seconds from the time that whistle goes until the time that truck is leaving the fire station. It's all about response time. And if you and I are going to be able to really develop the ears to hear where God is leading, we have got to cut down on our response time. In other words, when God speaks truth into your life, maybe it's through the scriptures, maybe it's through some other person, maybe it's through just the quiet whisper in your spirit, when God puts that truth in your heart, cut down on the response time. Obey immediately. He said, Frank, I'm not even sure if it's God. Well, listen, if it's not anti-God, take the risk. Right? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. If you're going to develop the ears to hear God, it's going to be through having an obedient heart. And so you cut down on the response time. So when God comes to you this week and he begins to lean into you and say, you know, you really should talk to that person at work. You know, you just have that inner feeling that you should go and initiate a conversation with her or with him. And your first reaction is, I don't know her. He's going to think I'm a Jesus freak. I don't know what to say. That's your first reaction. Instead, cut down on your response time. God's leaning into you and encouraging you to go talk to that person. Do it. Because the way to develop ears to hear God is through, you know, an obedient heart. Or maybe it's God encouraging you to be generous in some area of your life. Maybe it's with your finances. Maybe, you know, you just see a need and you feel like this compulsion, this inner leaning to, you know what, I'm going to contribute. But then what happens is, oh, I got this bill coming and that, we're going on vacation, and then I've got, no, cut down on the response time. Obey immediately. Or maybe it's to volunteer your time, to be generous with your time, right, to serve. You know, you have an opportunity to serve, whether it's here at South or it's in the community on behalf of Jesus. You have an opportunity to serve, and you see that need gets put in front of you, and cut down on your response time and respond. Because the way to develop ears to hear God is through an obedient heart. And when you sense God this week telling you to stop, stop immediately, right? Scanning through the Netflix, and you hit that button and you're like, oh, I don't know, that movie's kind of marginal. Should I see that movie or not? And God says to you, no. Immediate obedience. Or maybe it's God telling you to start something. Right? You get ready to go to bed tonight and you're like, you know, I really should set my alarm for 15 minutes early and get up tomorrow morning and spend some time with God. Is that coming from Him? Well, immediate obedience. The way to develop ears to hear God is through an obedient heart. One of the kings of ancient Judah was a man named Asa, not a good king. You can read all about him in 2 Chronicles, not a good guy. God sent a prophet named Hanani to confront Asa about what a crummy king he was. And here's what Hanani told Asa. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. If you want to have ears to hear, you develop an obedient heart, fully committed to Him. Listen, there can be no doubt that God wants to communicate with you and me. There can be no doubt that God wants to lead us, that God wants to be heard by us, that God wants to be understood by His children. The reason there's no doubt is because of the lengths that God went to help us understand Him. God sent Jesus to earth to become one of us so that we could understand who God is. And while Jesus was here, just before He was about to go to the cross and pay the penalty for your sin and my sin, Jesus said these words to His followers in John 14, verse 21. Those who accept My commandments and obey them are the ones who love Me. And because they love Me, My Father will love them. And I will love them. You ready now? I will love them and reveal Myself to each of them. God wants to reveal Himself to you. God wants to speak truth into your life. He will do it through His scriptures. He'll do it through other people. He'll do it through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God wants to reveal Himself to you. And the way to be able to hear God is to develop an obedient heart. Lord, would You help us to do that? Man, God, You know how much I just blow it. I start out my day to live in obedience with You. And I get caught up. I get busy. I let pride take over. I let my anxieties begin to run my day instead of relying on You. And before I know it, I can't even sense where You're leading me to go. I can't even hear what it is You want me to do because I've just not been obedient to the things that I know I need to do. And so this morning, Father, as I come to this communion table and as I think about Your Son Jesus and what He did for me, would You help me, Lord, to put a stake in the ground and say from this place forward, starting right now at this very moment, I will practice immediate obedience. There won't be any response time. That when I sense Your presence and Your leaning, Your leading, Lord, that I will immediately obey You. Help me to do that. Help all of us to do that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the good news. Just because you've messed up, just because I've messed up, just because we've sinned, doesn't mean we are permanently exiled from God. It doesn't mean that God has decided never to talk to us again. Of course He will. God wants to speak with us the same way that you and I want to speak with our children. And so this morning, as we celebrate this communion, we drink some juice, we eat some bread to remind us that Jesus went to the cross for us. And that because of His sacrifice, we can be forgiven no matter how far away we've walked from God. That starting today, you can come to Jesus and say, I commit again to following You, or I commit the first time to being Your child. And so Wally's going to lead us in some music, and you'll have the opportunity to go to any of these six tables throughout the room and share in this meal together. If you're unable to get up and move around, that's no worries. We have people who come to you, and our ushers just kind of, you know, wave your hand. They'll come find you, and you can share in this communal meal together. You'll see some people scattered throughout the room wearing blue lanyards. You want someone to pray with you? You want someone just to share your burden? We would love to do that today. Just step and contact one of our prayer team or our elders, and we'll pray with you this morning. Let's stand together. Let's sing and come and receive the gift as God leads you.